flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on 92.9 FM or 680 AM. But this entire month, Odyssey Sports is giving you an opportunity for one of the great giveaways. You can start the new year off with a slam dunk in Vegas. That's right. Download the Odyssey app, listen to 92.9 FM for 1 hour, log in with your email, free to download, free to listen, log in, and as long as you listen for 1 hour, you will get a daily entry into the slam dunk in Las Vegas. And what that's going to get you is a free trip to Las Vegas that includes airfare, 5-night stay at the Circa, as well as $20,000 spending cash for you and 3 friends, so $5,000 each, for the ultimate viewing experience during the opening weekend of the college basketball tournament. It's a dream that almost every dude at some point, maybe dudettes, have had, which is, what if we went to Vegas for the opening weekend of the tournament? Well, Odyssey's giving you the chance to do so. 5-night stay at the Circa, and they're also going to give you some spending cash as well. So again, all you got to do is listen for an hour while you're logged into the Odyssey app right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Dennis Fuller, producer of the program for us, glad that he is with us. Switching it up this week, we've had to move some schedules around for everybody having different events, but today we will have Kevin Cerrito with us, of course, the MC of Fun and Games in Memphis, host of Writer Than Right Trivia in Memphis, Thursdays, 10:30 on the Jeff Calkins Show. Co-host of 901 Wrestling. The website, CerritoEntertainment.com. On Twitter, on X, at Cerrito. Kevin, good day, sir.
How are you, Jeffrey? Great to be back. I got my voice back. I'm ready to go. Big week here on 929. You got a double dose of me here on this show Monday and Wednesday, and then Trivia will be back on Thursday, Jeffrey. I hope you're rested and ready to go after what was just an awesome weekend. I can't wait to talk about it. I'm happy to be here on a Monday.
Indeed, awesome weekend. So we'll stick with our usual Monday gimmick, Overreaction Monday. We'll start with the trade. Also, Grizzlies and Tigers had a nice little twofer. I don't know, Kevin, I don't know if Disney World ever did it, but that was always January. January was always a big time for Disneyland because it was twofer season, meaning if you bought whatever ticket you bought, if you bought the just to Magic Kingdom or you bought to California Adventure or if you bought the Park Hopper, you would immediately have like another 60 days to use it again. So two for season was always massive this time of year. we got another Grizzlies-Tigers twofer. We had a Thursday twofer and a Sunday twofer in which both teams win on the road. So we'll talk about that. Jason Munn's going to join us like he does each and every Monday. We'll get his thoughts specifically on the Tigers. They move up in both polls today. 17th in the AP. I believe they were up 2 from 19 to 17, and they were up from 16 to 15 today in the coaches' poll. Again, they get the win yesterday at Rice. We'll talk about that with Munns when he joins the program. We'll get into the list. It was also Rumble weekend. Saturday, we had the Royal Rumble. Only 4 matches, but all 4 matches basically got like an hour of time apiece. So great women's match, great men's Rumble, really set the scene. Kevin and I will get our thoughts on that.
And it's SmackDown week here in Memphis.
Indeed. So we have SmackDown coming on Friday. Kevin's tried to do a little bit of research about whether or not we will. Listen, we know we can't always see Cena, but we'll find out if we can or can't see Cena on Friday. We'll talk about that. John Calipari made his return to Lexington, and after kind of being the brunt of jokes, I felt like, particularly on game day, whatnot, might have gotten the last laugh on Saturday night. Also, we had the Grammys last night. I have a theory about the Grammys that I want to run by Kevin. We'll discuss that. Grizzlies, as Kevin had mentioned, returned tonight. They return home. They will host San Antonio. We've gotten the injury report. So Dez is going to be out tonight. Ja is currently listed as questionable. Also listed as questionable is Brandon Clark. So Ja will be moved up to questionable. Doubtful right now, Marcus Smart, Vince Williams. So at least they're appearing on the injury report from out, moving up to doubtful, which oftentimes suggests that their return is someone imminent. Usually it doesn't mean tonight, but usually what it means is they'll be listed as doubtful tonight, and the next time we'll see them, they'll get upgraded to questionable. As long as they go through pregame, everything A-OK, we should see perhaps Marcus Smart and Vince Williams make their returns this week. So Kevin had mentioned it, and I thought this was an interesting thing about this weekend, where it felt like a weekend where, I don't know if it was orchestrated, I don't know if it was intentional, it just felt to me like everyone that was outside of the world of football was like, there's no football this weekend, let's go, with all due respect to the Pro Bowl games. And it just felt like we had everything going all at once. And ESPN made Saturday a massive day of college basketball. It was basically 12-plus hours of college basketball. It started in Knoxville as Tennessee got their big win shorthanded over Florida. Then Auburn went to Ole Miss and got a nice win. Kansas blew, I believe, the biggest lead in school history.
Oh, wow.
In a conference game. Baylor ends up winning that game. Then the most understated, I feel like, Duke-North Carolina game of all time happened. And honestly, Duke just took care of business, so they really didn't allow you to have much attention. But then, you know, late primetime, I would say, because I think it was 8 Central, so 9 Eastern, we had Cal's return, and then it closed with Gonzaga and St. Mary. So it was wall-to-wall basketball. Then we had the Grammys, which I think that's always the traditional spot.
Everything's changed. So everything's got to shift now. Wherever the Super Bowl goes, everybody else kind of
I used to always
follows,
associate so. The Grammys and the PGA Tour event at Torrey Pines, because I always felt like those were together. But then I don't know if
the Super Bowl was in January until recently, so the February is Grammy time.
Yeah, but this was always like, I don't know, it's like, I'm kind of thinking of ever since we moved the Super Bowl to February. But then we get on Saturday night, you and I, we're enjoying the Rumble. You and I were texting about, like, we both, I think, overall, like, we, 2 thumbs up. We both enjoyed the show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, as I guess the Rumble has concluded, I think I'm at the end of Arkansas, Kentucky. And you see the notification. And my wife and I are on the couch at this point, and I go, whoa. And she was like, what? Because I don't normally do that type of thing. I was like, whoa. And it's the Shams Charania notification that Luka Doncic is being sent to the Los Angeles Lakers for Anthony Davis and then some auxiliary pieces. But that's the big thing. And her first thing was, are you sure?
Right. That's always my reaction to any news story. It's like, well, you've got to check your sources.
Well, I've also learned the hard way.
Yeah.
So
Got to check.
And
there was a few minutes, like if you got that news immediately, there was a few minutes where everybody was checking. Like, let's make sure this is not a
Shams hack. Charania had to send out a second message like, this is real. This is happening. Like, there's no hack. Like, this is happening. Bobby Marks then, I think, had it weighed in the same thing. But I've learned the hard way, to your point, of which I never particularly found the troll accounts that were like Adam Schefter, but in like, you
with
know,
a bunch of numbers.
Well, it's not even like people did get somewhat creative and like an E, like there would always be one letter off and whatnot. They'd use the same picture. I just never found that all that funny. And I had a pretty high
They're not funny at all.
Yeah. I had a pretty high batting average of not getting duped. But my new move is, for better or worse, I'm just the accounts that I know that will be newsbreakers, I just set up notifications for them. So that way, if I am scrolling and I see something, I know, no, that's from this account. So
that's a great idea.
Then I don't recommend it because I'm not sure if like recommending more Twitter time or X time is a good thing, but
not at all.
I have done it as a professional move to not get duped. Like it's almost a protectionary for me.
Media literacy, it's an important thing that needs to be taught, and we have to
reading comprehension general. Just right. Yes,
you need to give a course at this and some go talk to some schools and some elderly about some media literacy. Ways that you can prevent yourself from being tricked into believing false information. If you're gonna get on it,
everything can be
that's
breaking news.
One.
Everything can be breaking news to you if you're not online,
right?
Like, how about that, huh?
Well, that's this was cool. So obviously we're talking about the trade of all trades, right? And when it happened, it was very unique because I happened to be up and I saw it, right? And credit to probably the Royal Rumble and the Cal game because it happened right after both of those were over.
Yeah,
I had my attention on like let's check out social media and
it's the decompressed time of I just enjoyed something. Let me get my phone scroll. Yeah,
let's see who hated it.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Let's
read some takes.
I want to see what they're saying in Kentucky. And I really, I want to see what Kentucky's misery is. I want to see all of that. But so we got to see it, right? But if for some reason, like. That was not your routine. You might have missed this story, and it was a cool moment, like on Saturday night. Like you know, this now as a newer dad, it felt to me like a Christmas Eve type of story, right? Like we knew what a lot of people were going to be waking up to. Like, ooh,
sure.
We know what present they're going to get. We know this big story. All these people are asleep right now. When they wake up, wait till they see what they have. I'm so excited for them to experience this story that we got right now.
Well, there's definitely a bit of that because it happens late enough at night to where a large portion of...
They woke up to the news.
Correct. Woke up to the news. But the thing that was going on, at least for me...
This is crazy.
Me and my friends, a decent amount of my friends are Lakers friends from college. And so, you know, you're getting the Lakers spin of, you know, well, of course he wanted to come to the Lakers. And then, like, me and my other buddies that are big NBA fans are like, no, that's not like... We were trying to, like, figure it out. And so... This is kind of my first overreaction.
Let's hear it.
I don't think I've ever been more confused by a trade in my lifetime. Any sport, anything. Because even now when you are reading the 48 hours later, the people that are doing the good reporting and they're trying to figure out what actually happened, I still don't know if you have a really satisfying grasp of what instigated this or what brought it about.
I don't think we do.
I think so. A little bit of context for people that don't know. Nico was Cody's marketing guy, or not Kobe's marketing guy at Nike. So
he's the GM is his position.
Correct. The GM of Dallas.
Yeah. And which Mark Cuban has no association with, which also like a lot of people are learning that this weekend apparently.
Well, because we had the weird reality of we knew he sold the team, but then it was announced within the sale that he was still going to be the operational guy, and that's not
like
the case anymore.
They didn't want people to really know that he was stepping as far back as he did,
so
because he's important to the brand, it's the mascot. I don't know. But,
I think you're right. I think it's for business.
Yeah,
I think it's for business reasons. Like. If Cuban is your owner, like even though he's like a meddling owner, like you do kind of know, hey,
he's on Shark Tank.
He cares.
Yeah.
Like he tries to win. And so, but he is like,
listen, he did not approve this. He had nothing to do with it.
He had nothing to do with it. And so the connection is
he wouldn't have approved it.
No, but. I mean, he's on record now. Who knows how true it is, but like, he's on record of like, if you're telling me I have to pick Luca or my wife,
yeah, he said that.
I'll see you at the divorce proceedings.
But yeah, and his only response is what? The Mavs fans for life.
Correct. And so like, he did not give a comment on any of his stories. And
but anyway, so back to this.
The connection is
the general manager.
Rob Pelinka, who is the Lakers general manager, was Kobe's agent.
Okay.
And when Kobe was originally an Adidas guy. And right. Adidas basically let his contract expire. It's unclear if like it was strategic or if they wanted to kind of let Kobe test the market. Like it's unclear. And also Adidas was at a weird spot in their business around 03, 04. Like they were kind of having to deal with Nike, like fully taking over. And so Nico is at Nike and all of the big Nike execs are going full all out blitz on LeBron to get him to be a Nike guy. And so Nico makes the decision. I'm going to get Kobe. I'm going to sign Kobe. I'm going to be the Nike guy that's got Kobe. And so they have a pre-existing relationship because of being basically in the Kobe business together. And so essentially what happens, we've learned today, these talks start about a month ago. All right. And Nico makes the comment, I believe this is in the ESPN story that you can see over at their front page.
All right.
He's learned the hard way. When you want to make a deal that involves superstars, the fewer people that know about it, the better. All right. So far, I'm good.
It sounds a lot like the Royal Rumble. Like, if you want to have a great surprise, you know, don't tell anybody what's happening.
The Hardy Boys.
Yeah.
I mean, remember, like, they
want the biggest pop possible. But I don't, they were like, to me, it makes more sense when you're talking about the Royal Rumble than it does in this scenario. But explain to me.
But you and I both know, everything is wrestling.
Yeah, everything is wrestling.
Like, you can...
You got to keep it under wraps. You don't want Meltzer finding out about this trade.
Correct. You know, I saw a lot of good Meltzer signs this weekend, too.
But what...
Meltzer lies, FDM, all this good. I say that as someone who respects Dave Meltzer. But...
Right.
Essentially, what then happens is... Whether Nico has decided from just having enough of Luka, whether or not he doesn't believe that Luka is the guy that you can build around, he's just decided he wants to be out of the Luka business. And so the person he kicks around the idea with is Rob Pelinka.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lakers have had several deals fall through because too many people knew about it. And so there was a relationship of trust between those two. And I think you have to say, for the most part, this thing stayed pretty quiet. And
oh, it did. What do you mean? Yeah, for sure.
And yeah. So where I do think, if I'm a Mavs fan, where I'm legitimately upset, if I'm setting aside, we traded Luka. All right. What I would get upset about is we traded Luka and we got what? Just Anthony Davis? Because then there's subsequent reporting that has come out that where Rob Pelinka might have gone full agent instead of GM and, you know, maybe Nico's friend, he starts kind of like, you know, you have all these concerns about you had to take a beer out of Luka's hand during the playoffs last year. You're worried about his weight, all this. He starts getting the deal smaller and smaller and smaller, where the Mavs are basically just winding up with Anthony Davis.
Mm-hmm.
And like, he basically turns it into like, Connect was originally involved, more picks were involved. And so the deal just gets kind of whittled down to, hey, you know, we're taking on a bunch of risk here. So, you know, you can't ask us to give up this much. By the way, like, you don't want to take it to market. Why'd you want to take it to market? Then more people get involved and fans can get involved and you wind up not doing what you want to do, which you've decided you're ready to be done with Luka. Let's keep it quiet. We'll keep it small and we'll make the deal. I really think that's where, like, in general, the confusion to me largely stems from, I can understand if Nico's sitting there going, I don't have the same view that Luka that NBA media does. I see it every day. Okay, I can hold that position. I just don't understand that if you know you've got a 25-year-old, five-time first-team All-NBA guy, and you're going to move him, why would you not at least try to get the best deal possible, even if you know at the end, I'm going to make the deal with the Lakers, why would you not try to get the best deal possible?
Exactly. That's what you've got to be, if you're a Mavs fan, upset about. But to go back to your point of being the most shocked, right? I think there's lots of different reasons for that. One is that Luka got traded. Like, there was no, I don't think anybody was thinking Luka was going to, who, why? Well, that's like your initial, why is this guy, why is he getting traded? Why now? And so that's part of the reason it's him. Also part of the reason it's him is because there was no leaks, or because it was so under wraps, nobody even knew that he was on the, so like, if we found out today, oh, the Mavs are considering trading Luka, we'd be like, oh, wow, why would they do that? And at least you have some buildup of, like, you're not going to be as surprised when it actually does happen, even though you're questioning it and you're surprised initially. So the idea there was no leaks, the idea that it was Luka, and then on top of that, it's what they got for him? Like, you've got, like, it's a trifecta of, like, whoa, with this trade, because it's like, okay, how do we not know about it? Why is it happening?
Right.
And why is this what they're getting if it is happening? Like, it was so much of just none of it made any sense.
And, I mean, I guess,
but I mean, it does make more sense now that you want to explain it, right? Like, and we are getting these stories of what the thought process is coming out of Dallas. But, like, even if you have issues with, like, I think you're supposed to handle these situations a little bit different when you have, like, if you're ready to get out of the Luka business, why? I'm curious on that. And if so, like, you don't just do it. You have to have some patience, and you're going to have to be in the business for a second, because you got to do what's best for the fans and for the future of the franchise. And they did not do that.
And so I guess another possibility, when we discuss the ownership context, the new ownership right. group and whatnot. So Nico, in a press conference yesterday, acknowledged, like, listen, he's due for the Supermax, and we were going to have, you know, uncomfortable conversations, paraphrasing.
And what, but wouldn't you not just give him the max though? Like, what,
well, what? So what if we don't know.
The other thing is, if you're going to buy out Mark Cuban, these people bought the team from Mark Cuban.
Maybe they want to payroll.
How can they be cheap? How can they be cheap?
Well, they bought, so it's unclear.
You can't buy into the NBA today without being the richest of the rich.
Correct.
Like, you should be sitting front row at every inauguration.
So it's unclear what this ownership group wants, because there's been the theory that...
What do you think they want? They don't want Luka. We know that now. They don't want... He's gone.
And, well, it's unclear if they didn't want Luka. They were okay with not having Luka, appears to be...
Him or the contract, or...
Correct. Like, I think maybe all of the above.
What do you think they want? I'm curious on this.
So the original theory is, for those that don't know, the real money comes from Adelson, and they originally owned, if you've ever been to Vegas on the Strip, they owned, like, all of the land that the Venetian's on. I think at one time they owned the Venetian, and they sold all of that. So they come from the gambling world to a certain, the gambling real estate, ever, like, to your point, like,
yeah,
at this level of rich, they're kind of in a lot of things, but
origin to the money.
There is a theory that part of why Mark Cuban wanted to sell when he did was he knew there was going to be an arena fight coming up, and he just didn't really want to get involved. And so there are those that educatedly believe this new ownership group wants to buy an arena and essentially make it like a destination. It also seems like with gaming, like beyond just like what we typically see now, where you have like the stadiums that have a hotel connected to it, whatnot. Like, they want to make it a resort, like a Mavericks-type resort. Now, how feasible is that? I have no idea. Like, is Texas going to have, like, to my understanding, Texas doesn't have casinos. You got to go to Oklahoma. You got to go to Louisiana. Like, I don't know. Like, you could talk me into, they just don't want the $400 million contract on their books, when a lot of these big contracts have been viewed as risky. Embiid not working out. Kawhi, like, Okay.
I mean, it's the high. That's the business they're in, though. It's high risk, high reward, right? You pay these guys quite often. It doesn't work out. But when it does.
I guess, though, what their argument is, a lot of the business that we're in is not that high risk. It's we have a certain asset that we know is going to, like, in the end.
Will it? I mean, but will it? Like, I mean, the fans are not happy in Dallas. I mean, that.
I think the other thing that is obvious
and
to me
put a
is
spotlight
that
spotlight on Cuban not being associated with the friend. I
definitely like think that is like it is
that's it's doing a lot of harm that you couldn't even predict, right? Like, would you predict? Yes, some fans would be upset. Every fan, would you predict that they would be building a shrine around Dirk's statue and then also putting this extra spotlight on people that realizing that Cuban is no longer associated with this team and make because he would never make the decision. Like that's the thing. He would never ever have traded Luka.
I think what you can safely say is one of the takeaways that people have today is that everyone now is confident, like, Mark Cuban's not really running the Mavericks. Like, that, and I think to a lot of people that are informed, like, okay, we knew that, but I think for a lot of people, they're like, well, I've never really understood, like, what's the structure? He's still the president. Like, what's obvious now is, like, he is not involved.
And it's not a good thing. It's like usually, I mean, it doesn't really matter for many franchises, but I feel like for most franchises, they'd be excited if the owner wasn't involved. But like with Cuban, it was like, I don't think, I mean, it's a bad thing to not to come to this realization, whether you're a fan, and I don't know how many people in Texas were aware of it, but across the NBA universe. Something I definitely noticed over the weekend was, well, how could Mark, because like Mark Cuban's like trending, right? Like, and so you click on that, and
sure,
like, everybody's like, how could Mark Cuban make this deal? And I'm like, he's not making this. It's not Mark
right.
Cuban, you know?
He was not involved. I mean, that's
but he is the Mavericks. And before he bought the team, they were a very irrelevant NBA franchise. And now this move puts them back in position to be there again. But I mean, we'll see what the master plan is. I mean, do you not think there's something? There's the rumors about Jimmy Butler still out there. Like, what are we doing with that?
Yeah, I mean, I will say, when you break it down, it feels like both teams. This is a move that involves making another move. But like, what do they have? Like in the end,
yeah,
you know, like,
but what do you need? I mean, maybe they're thinking, what do you need?
So the Lakers clearly need a big,
yeah,
at this point,
right?
But also to me, it's kind of like, all right, the Lakers, I don't know if necessarily they did that for like right now. I think they did that in, all right, LeBron's eventually leaving. Could be as early as this summer. Like this is making sure that they don't have the star vacuum that they love to have. You know, like that, you know, you go from Kareem to Magic. Magic. And they kind of had a vacuum there in the mid-90s till they make the deal for
right,
Shaq.
But what are you going to do against Jordan anyway, right?
Correct. Like, and so then you have Shaq and Kobe. You decide you're keeping Kobe and you're moving Shaq. And then
Powell comes in.
You bring Powell in to pair with Kobe. And then you kind of had another void post-Kobe until they got LeBron. And this is kind of making sure that you don't have
very few gaps.
Right. You're making sure you don't have another one of those gaps. And then,
well, it's a new, like the Lakers. Shout out to the Lakers. Like, they are really, I don't know if they're the luckiest, or they're definitely the best position to succeed franchise in any sport, I think. Any professional sport, they're in the best.
The only one I'd push back is maybe the Dodgers, because I think the Dodgers have more money.
But like historically, the Lakers have done it more than the Dodgers.
Yes, but historically it has been Jerry Buss, and now you had the kids infighting over the money. It's kind of the same thing that the Yankees are running into. It's not like the Yankees are poor, but
right, I mean, the Yankees are the one that I would argue would be also up there, right? You know,
but like you still have the same thing where like Hank doesn't have all of George's money, and so you don't have like the one person that's been. And then on top of that, the era that you could be the biggest spending owner in the 90s, and that requires a lot less cash than being the biggest spending owner in 2025.
Right, I got you. So what this Laker, so this trade, like it's got me thinking, like, has the Laker, did they develop a new strategy? Is this like a whole new way to look at your building an NBA team? Because we've always said for years, right, like you draft, you don't draft for a need, you draft the best player available, right? You don't, do you not trade for need? Do you trade for just the best player available? Is that just straight up what the Lakers did here? They just traded. They, like, I don't know how it's going to work with Luka on with LeBron, but I know if we get him, he could be the franchise player for the next decade on this team, and we'll be prepared for when LeBron is done, which is very soon. So, like, let's just get him. So get him while we can. Like,
if the question is this a new path? I think you have to say no, not from simply just because when you lay it out, how repeatable is this? Because
you have to have a dumb GM move, is what we're still.
Well, you have to have a.
What do you mean? How repeatable is it?
So I guess this would be
a player on the trading block that you might have somebody can't trade for him.
What we haven't seen in this era of the last two collective bargaining agreements, ever since it's really it has been advantageous for teams to keep their own players.
Right.
They give them financial. What we haven't seen.
That's a very underrated. A great thing about the NBA, right? And especially like when you compare it to college sports and like issues with Tiger fandom now of like, who are these players? We got a whole new team this year. Like having consistency on your team, it matters a lot for building your fan base. But
yeah, no, 100%. Yeah,
whether they're the greatest of all time or not.
What makes this one a little complicated is, well, they trade him before the Supermax, but it wasn't with Luka's blessing. So like in the end, what we've been seeing recently was guys that maybe weren't even happy with their situation because the Supermax was so much more money than you could get on the market. What you saw is guys saying, all right, I'll sign the deal. We'll figure it out. And basically it's like you sign the deal and then there's like another year before you can start maneuvering again, scheming again. This is the first one that we've seen where guy was going to be super max eligible this summer, didn't request a trade, and gets moved. Like, if I'm Luka, I basically am going to miss out on give or take $150 million of guaranteed money. And I know the argument, well, he's in LA, whatnot. It's like, y'all, I don't know if you realize how hard it is to make $150 million in advertising and endorsements. And, like, I'd be kind of annoyed by that. And so.
So we also today, like it's there's still a lot of like we're still shook from this. Like, do we feel like so he didn't know, LeBron didn't know, like we still that we believe those are the facts and then.
So I'm a little if the problem is Clutch, Rich Paul is both Anthony Davis and LeBron's agent. What's unclear to me is when were they involved? Because, honestly, I guess you can talk me into they were notified very late in the process. Like, the story goes that LeBron was at dinner with his family. It's like, I don't know whether or not that's true.
Right.
Like, the talks have been going on for a month. At some point, you're going to have to get the agents involved. I don't know if that's just at the very end. Because Danny Ainge, who was the third team involved, didn't even know who they were trading until 30 minutes before it went live.
All right, so what's more likely that LeBron didn't know about this or Triple H didn't know about his Hall of Fame induction when they told him about that?
LeBron not knowing about this is significantly more likely.
They're significantly more likely.
Yes. I mean, I agree. Because like in the end it's like, I don't know, the Lakers are kind of starting to play better, like I don't know.
No, they were. But long term, I mean, but this is, no, this you, don't is know, like, you don't know what the Lakers are thinking.
I'm not convinced that this is best for LeBron. I mean, I am convinced it's best for the Lakers.
It's best for, exactly. That's 100%.
And maybe that's what this, maybe this is what this is remembered as. When LeBron had largely taken, like, because wherever LeBron goes, he is the franchise. And rightfully so. Like, that's the type of player he is. Maybe this is the moment that you realize, okay, the Lakers retook control of their franchise from LeBron.
No, I feel like it could very well be that. And does he get unhappier, or does this work out and he ends up staying there for a little bit longer? I mean, LeBron's 40 now. We're talking. There's not much time left in the LeBron era. Wherever he goes, just being the dominant number one on a team.
I found out my house got broken into. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, Jason Munns is going to join the program. We'll talk to him about the Tigers. They pick up the win against Rice. Also got to get into the Grizzlies. We'll do all that. Big show coming up here on a Monday, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jason Munsley is the Tiger basketball beat writer for the Commercial Appeal. You can follow him on Twitter on X at Munsley. Joins us each and every Monday. Muns, what are we listening to?
Do you like it?
It's very festive.
It's called the song's called "To Rise Above" and it's by Gogo Bordello, and it's like. Kind of like
it feels like bands that I would have heard in college that were like a fusion of like punk ska with like mariachi music.
Some people call it gypsy punk.
Yeah,
so that's how you want to think of it.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. All right, so yesterday the Tigers hold on in Houston to defeat Rice. I said this earlier this morning. And I kind of stand by it in that I didn't think that that was one of those, like, to me, not all close escapes are the same.
Yep.
That game to me kind of was, I tip my cap to Rice for just not like quitting and dying.
Yep.
I'm not really holding it against the Tigers. Like, they led for 38 plus minutes. Yes, if they hit a front end of the 1-1, then that game, but it's almost like by Rice not kind of folding in the same way that Tulane folded, honestly, Thursday night, it allowed for it to be like close on the scoreboard. I don't have any concerns after that game, I guess is how I would phrase it.
Yes, that what we saw yesterday at Tudor Field House, which is another story, by the way, is not the same thing as Memphis versus Wichita State at FedEx Forum the week before.
Right.
Like, it was Wichita State, Memphis was bad basketball the majority of the game, and Memphis just being, you know, just like the more talented team. And I think that in that way, that last part, in that way, that's what we saw yesterday against Rice. But it was genuinely two teams largely playing good basketball. And Memphis making the plays they had to make. It gets weird when you start talking about free throws, because Memphis made, P.J. Haggerty and P.J. Carter made some really, really clutch free throws there at the end. But they probably shouldn't, or they wouldn't have been in that position had, I think it was P.J. Haggerty and Nick Jourdain not missed the front end of a couple of one-on-ones, in the last 30 seconds or so of the game. So it gets a little bit weird when you start talking about free throws, but Memphis turned it over 16 times, but you know what? That's just, you're going to have to accept it. That's the way it's going to be. They're going to try not to, but when they do it, you got to let it go. Plus it was on the road. I get it. Rice has lost 7 in a row, but, they've got some players on that team. Like that Trey Broadnax is pretty good. Jacob Dar is pretty good. And they hit some three-pointers. I'd have to go back and look at it, but it feels like to me there was at least like two or three instances where Memphis would stretch the lead out to like 10, 9 or 10, and then Rice would come back and cut it to a one-possession game, but then Memphis would push back out again to, a comfortable lead, but then Rice would come right back and make it a one possession game again. It was just that type of game. It was very much a tug of war. And, but yes, like to your point, it's not the same as Memphis surviving at home against East Carolina or outlasting, Wichita State in that battle of
whatever that was. Cause like you said, that was not basketball.
Yeah. That whole battle of yuck. So, the interesting thing is, like, yes, Memphis, and this is a whole other conversation, I don't know if you want to get into it, but, like, yes, Memphis, because they played the way they played, the 16 turnovers, et cetera, they dropped two spots in the net. They dropped two spots in KenPom, but you know what? Jerry Palm, in his latest bracketology, moved Memphis up a seed line after yesterday. And Joe Lunardi kept them exactly where they were before that game. In his latest, seed list, his latest bracketology today. So, it's just the projections, the bracketologists don't think that these performances where Memphis doesn't necessarily look all that great from a metrics standpoint, they do not believe that that is going to have a negative effect on their seed. As long as they keep winning. And, I can get behind the thought process that if Memphis were to move up in the net, that would probably help their seeding prospects. But I don't think that them moving down incrementally, is having a truly adverse effect on their seeding potential.
No, I'm happy to get into this with you because I think this is one of the kind of the more confusing aspects for fans because net gets kind of beaten down your throat, but it's not as if, all right, let's take the top 30 teams in the net. It's not like the tournament is seeded 1 through 68 based on where teams are in the net. And this is
it's not even close.
No, and this is where it can also get a little confusing because I think we also are having this kind of existential question of, okay, what is the meaning of polls anymore? But one spot where I will always grant, I made the reference last week. Tennessee and Florida played last Tuesday night, and that was number 8 versus number 12. the spread was 12.5 points. Like, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Florida still ends up winning because, hey, maybe the spread ended up being wrong, but that, or Kentucky ends up winning and the spread ends up being wrong. But what I do think is interesting is because we did this exercise last spring, the top 16 seeds mirror the AP poll probably more than they mirror the net. And in the end, part of that is because, okay, we have all these metrics, but it's still a room full of people that have a ballot and they write teams down, and oftentimes that ballot mirrors what we see in the polls.
Yeah, yes. And yes, the polls and the net just don't, you know, sometimes they match up, but sometimes they don't. And this is a point that I'd like to make. So I looked at Jerry Palm's for CBS Sports, his latest bracketology, which was dropped this morning. So Memphis is number 42 in the net this morning. SMU is number 41. Memphis is a projected 4 seed. SMU is not in the field. SMU is ahead of Memphis in the net, and yet they are not in the field. And not only is Memphis in the field, they are a projected 4 seed. You know, if the net had was like the most accurate look at seeding prospects, or even a semi-accurate look at seeding prospects, there's only 37 at-larges, berths in the NCAA tournament. If you were going by the net, Memphis would not be in the tournament because they're 42 in the
right.
net. Now, obviously, you know, you get into some things with conference champions and things like that, and you would move down the list if the net was that much of a thing, of a correlation to the seeding. But yeah, like with 37 at-large spots, Memphis would be out if you were going by the net. But again, not only is Memphis not only in, they are a projected 4 seed. And so I just think that, trust me, I'm as guilty of it as anybody. We all talk about the net. Like, we all really, really, really pay, you know, very close attention to the net, but it just, at least, I can really only, you know, I haven't done a ton of research on everybody else, but speaking just about Memphis and this season, I think you can kind of not forget about the net, but certainly put it in the back of your mind. You know what I mean? Like, that would be my advice. Put the net, at least for now, put the net in the back of your mind, because they're just not matching up. The people who are making the projections think that Memphis is a 4 seed, and the net does not match that at all. So that would be...
No, and I guess the way that I would phrase is the net matters a lot more when you're on the fringes, bubble, you know, yeah. like whatnot, like, because that's kind of a way of, all right, we're having to figure out a way to justify these teams over the other. Where it starts to get complicated for me is a question that you and I have kind of pondered, and I don't even feel like I'm getting any more clarity, but for me, the biggest question is, okay, I'm not asking them to go undefeated, but it's like, how many losses can they take and still be, top 5 seed? And as we go on in the season, like, I don't feel like I'm getting a whole lot more clarity.
No, I think you're right. It isn't crystallizing like you would think it would as the regular season, you know, comes down the last third of the regular season. There's 9 games left. We're halfway through the conference season, and you know what we thought 2 or 3 weeks ago is probably what we think today. One more loss, and you're probably looking on the outside looking in if you're thinking about a top 4-5 seed. That's at least what I think, and I think that you know, like even if Memphis loses one more game and that loss happens to be at UAB, which as UAB continues to win, they keep moving up the net, as if Memphis were to play at UAB today, that game would be a quad two game. I still think that would be too much for Memphis to hang on to a top five seed in the NCAA tournament. It just feels that way to me.
That's what I'm saying. It's like I tend to agree with you just by looking at how things work. But I am also considering, it's like, what if the standard for them is, as long as they win the regular season of their league and they win it comfortably, their resume against the other top teams in the field, whatnot. I forget what the difference is. Is it their on-court resume versus their on-paper resume? There's some justification that people use. Like, maybe that's possible, but it's like, I don't know, man. That's kind of where I struggle. It's like, I don't know how to view, because I think people are still conditioned in this league where losses are so traumatic.
Right.
But I don't really know if that's the case right now. You know what I mean? Because of the work that they actually did, not only in the non-conference, but also the fact that that work is like holding up. It's not going away.
You might be right. And you know, yeah, like to your point that you just made, like Missouri.
Yeah.
That we've gotten to the point where it's a very real possibility that stays a quad one win. It's been a quad one win for a few weeks. I think it was after they beat Florida that became a quad one win for Memphis. But then, 28 piece or 29 piece at Mississippi State last week? And they moved up like seven spots or something like that. So, you know, I mean, like, even if they would have to completely implode for that to drop to a quad two win. So Missouri is really carrying some weight. Michigan State, even though they lost to USC, still holding up very well. UConn, which, you know, they've taken their lumps, but they're still, I mean, like, they rose six or eight spots in the AP poll today because they go to Milwaukee and beat Marquette. And,
yeah.
Like, they're still doing work. And, I mean, you know, let's not forget about Arkansas State. I haven't looked at where they are in the net lately, but I do know they're still winning. Clemson is still winning. By the way, nobody's talking about Clemson, but they are still winning. So, yeah, like, they're, you know, not only putting the schedule together that they put together, but obviously the success that they had against that schedule is as much, it's probably like 80-90% of why they are, things are looking as good as they are in terms of their March Madness projections.
We got another look at Dane Danger in the starting lineup. Obviously, Musa and Dane spent a large part of the afternoon yesterday kind of battling foul trouble. You know, I don't want to say everything's solved by just having Dane be back in the lineup, but it's yet again another game where they hold their own rebounding-wise. Like, that seems like a move that's made sense. I'm curious to know how you feel about it.
I think that they've hit on a game plan that is really, really, really working well because everybody's playing well, or the people involved are playing well. So, at Tulane, you know, like you had Dane and Colby Rogers and PJ Carter kind of alternating. You know, PJ Haggerty was sick and had an off night. Tyrese Hunter had an off night. But you know, like, they've made it very, very clear that they feel like nobody can stop Dane in this league. And so they've come up with this game plan where they're just going to feed him early. And as long as he's cooking, they're going to ride with him. But like, if they double him, he can kick it out to Colby Rogers.
Yep.
Or he can kick it out to PJ Carter. And, you know, Colby Rogers was hitting. I mean, he wasn't hitting for a while against Tulane, and then he couldn't miss. And, you know, Dane yesterday against Rice, I'm looking at the box score right now. He only scored 6 points, but he had four assists. He was like, the only people who had more were Haggerty and Hunter.
Yeah.
And they only had five. So, like, clearly that was working. Like, they were getting it into him. He was getting doubled. He was getting played. He was getting schemed up. And so he kicks it out to P.J. Carter, who hit 5 3-pointers and scored 19 points, season high 19 points, which, I mean, we could do a whole thing on P.J. Carter because he has just risen from the ashes. He was scoring 3.8 points per game in the first 19 games of the season, and in the last three, he's averaging 15.7 and shooting 60% from three-point range. Like, he has, like, if you get that or even really anywhere close to that, just double digits, if he averages double digits the rest of the way, then this team's ceiling goes up even more, I think. I mean, and it's not just his shooting ability. He came up with the steal that sealed the game yesterday, which was just a really gritty play. It feels like despite the way it looks sometimes and the way and what the numbers show, it does feel like they have found a pretty good groove.
Yeah, I'm with you, my man. All right, we appreciate it.
All right, thanks, Jeffrey.
That is Jason Munns, of course, Tiger basketball beat writer for the Commercial Appeal. The winners just keep on coming in the Zen Sports VIP Players Club sweepstakes. Another Tennessee-exclusive grand prize winner has just been selected for the January sweepstakes, and now Zen Sports is keeping up the momentum by introducing the new VIP Players Courtside Club sweepstakes for February. This month, one grand prize winner will win two tickets to the Men's Basketball Conference Championship game in Nashville and a $10,000 bonus bet or any tournament game or an alternative prize of $10,000 cash. You'll earn entries on every bet you place in February and every dollar you wager. Plus, you'll earn 10 times the entries on all parlay bets. You don't want to miss out on this one. And if you're not the grand prize winner, don't sweat it. You'll still have a chance to be one of 10 smaller prize winners, which grant you two tickets to any men's regional basketball tournament game and a $1,000 bonus bet on the tournament or $250 cash. That's not all. All new customers who sign up using code JEFFTN, J-E-F-F-T-N, receive 500 bonus entries as well. Head on over to zensports.com/sweepstakes for a full list of rules, and you will earn a $100 no-danger first wager on your first bet. Zen Sports, betting just got better. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Must be 21 or older and located in Tennessee. $5 minimum wager to qualify for entry. Terms and conditions apply. Full contest rules available at zensports.com/sweepstakes. No danger. First wager limited to plus 500 odds to qualify. Qualifying wager for entry must have a minimum odds for any leg in the entry of at least minus 250 or worse American odds. For clarity, a wager at minus 251 does not qualify. When we come back, let's get into the list. Grizzlies got to get into that. They pick up a big win last night on national TV. Jaren Jackson Jr. with a massive night. Talk about that. Royal Rumble. Grizzlies also return home tonight for the second night of a back-to-back. We'll do all that during hour number two. Stick around and listen to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.